Let's say your prayers this evening. Have something the Lord has been dealing with me over the last few weeks. I've shared it out in West Virginia, and I'd like to share it here. You know, there are times where the Lord wants to come along and make an adjustment in our attitude. Mom and Dad used to do that occasionally. They would make an attitude adjustment. Your thinking is heading in this direction, and it needs to change. And, you know, it's really the mercy of the Lord to come along and do that with us, to tell us this direction that you're headed is not a good direction. I want you to be able to understand something different. So I'd like to share it with you tonight. There is in Isaiah 21 and 11, a little piece of that verse that says, "Watchmen, what of the night? There was trouble in the land around, and there was a question given to the watchman." And as I look at that little picture in my mind, I think of in a city that's walled in, and there's a tower in the corners there, and someone has been placed there to watch over the place at night. So somebody comes by there and asks him, you know, what do you see out there? Do you see trouble out there ahead? What is it? Well, what I'd like for us to think about tonight and the way the Lord has been dealing with me is each one of us, not just for the minister, the watchman, but for each one of us, what is your view of where we are today? Because you know what? Your view will have a lot to do with your reaction to the time that we're living in. There are times in a basketball game where the score is real, real close. It's maybe one team is up just 2 points and there's 1 minute left to play. And so they have a decision to make. Do I go on out and try to make some more points, or do I just try to, this last minute, do I want to just hang on to the ball and try to make sure that I win this game? You know what? We're having to make that same kind of decision today. As we feel like the end is getting nearer, as we see trouble around us more and more, how do I view it? You know, we sing that song, "I'll keep holding on to Jesus." That's a good thing. We all need to be able to do that. There are other verses. One of them that I thought about was Matthew 24. You remember where they were asking the disciples themselves. They were kind of watchmen, watch of the night. They were trying to get a picture of the times that were happening right then, the destruction of Jerusalem, the end of the world. Tell us about that. And he was telling them in 24 and 13, "They that endure to the end, the same shall be saved." You ever feel that way? I just want to, it's in a time right now where if I can be saved in the end, I'll be happy. That's a good request too. That's a good desire. Also with the Church of Smyrna in Revelations, where it says, "Fear none of those things that you'll suffer. There's going to be a lot of things come to you, but be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life." Yes. It sounds like a time of just hanging on and see if I can make it. And there is a time for that. Also in Ephesians 6, where it was talking about, "And having done all to stand, just stand therefore." Yes. Now that doesn't sound like much progress being made, but that is important. There's times that's important for us. So as we think of this verse tonight, watchmen, watch of the night, as you look at the things that are happening around us today, what is your view? Is it that just, if I can just save myself, if I can just be saved in the end, then that's going to be good enough? Well, Sister Vicki gave a verse Wednesday night in her testimony, and I'd like for us to take a look at it tonight in Ezekiel 22 and 30. Because this 22nd chapter of Ezekiel is again talking about all the trouble in the land around. And then in the 30th verse, God says, "I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land." Almost like God saying, you know what? There has been oppression. There has been so much trouble. And you could read this in this chapter here. And God is saying, I went out and I took a look to see, is there anybody that would stand in the gap? That would say, Lord, I'm concerned about the things that are happening in the land. Would you please show mercy to this land? Says, I sought for them, that would make up the hedge, that would seek the Lord for some protection around us. Let's just say for this country itself. As I have looked at the things that are happening, what's been my response? Just, well, I want to hold on and make it for myself? Or have I been interested in being the man that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge? Yes. It says, sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. And so because he found none, you look at that next verse, therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with my wrath, with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. So what would it be if he had found somebody that had a real care and concern for what was going on, seeking the Lord for mercy to be extended? Would the 31st verse have been different? We find places in the Bible where it was different when he did find a man. There is a song that we sing, and I was thinking about with Sister Vicky's. Maybe sometimes we'll wonder, well, what could we do to make a difference in the day and time we live in? You know what? She's got an opportunity to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Yes. No matter how bad things go around us, no matter what they have agreed to in our country that is going to prove to be the downfall of us one day, I believe Sister Vicky takes a look at it and says, you know what? This year I may have 35 students that I can be responsible for to try to make a hedge around them, to try to guide them through this year to where they would be a little bit stronger to be able to resist evil. Says I sought for somebody that would be able to do it. There's a song that we sing sometime. Wait a little longer, please Jesus. Somebody that is concerned about the lost around us. Wait a little longer, please Jesus. There's so many still wandering out in sin. Just a little longer, please Jesus. A few more days to get our loved ones in. So I believe there is a place for me in just trying to make sure I make it, that there's still some room for me to have a care and concern for others. I'd like to, for us tonight to think about an intercessor. He was looking for one, sought for him, but he wasn't able to find one. Here's the definition of an intercessor. A mediator, one who interposes between parties at variance with a view to reconcile them. One who pleads in behalf of another. And you know, as I think about that verse, that definition, I think, you know, there's no greater example for us than Christ was himself. There's a verse that I'd like for us to look at. Isaiah 59:16 says, he saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. So the example that we're given of Christ himself being an intercessor, he is today for me an intercessor, wanting me to be able to make it. The verse in Romans 8:34 says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He's doing that for us. And you remember the picture that we have of Stephen when he was fitting to be stoned, and he said, I see Christ standing on the right hand of the Father. He was making intercession for him for the trouble that he was going through right then. And the other place in the Bible, that in Luke 13:7, where it talks about that the owner of the vineyard came by and he said, these 3 years I've been seeking fruit on this vine and I've not found any. So to the caretaker he said, just cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? But the caretaker said, no, I'll tell you what, if you'll give me one more year, would you give me one more year to work about it, fertilize it, and see if I can do anything with it? And if not, then you can cut it down. To me, that's an example of an intercessor, is please give a little bit more time to this situation. Let me do what I can with it. And that's a picture of Christ. And thought about as he was so much in that place to where his own physical problems was not what was paramount to him. As he came down just ready to breathe his last, And one of the thieves on the cross says, I tell you what, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And he says, this day you'll be with me in paradise. A care and concern for others. And we're living in a time where if I'm not careful for myself, what I'll start doing is closing in things around me to where, okay, what I want to do is be able to make it. And I think there is examples for me to show me there's still some more that I need to be able to do. There's another verse in Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Christ has a mind to be an intercessor for us. Yes. Cares about me that I be able to make it. Because I've got the example of what I can be if I'm not careful. And I tell you, I have felt it before. I'd like to take a look in Luke 9. Have you ever heard of righteous indignation? Where does it fit in for us? You remember in 9 and 52 of Luke, where Jesus says, 51, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. They did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Here is their feeling of it. And this goes, I had looked at it before and said, wow, why did they get so upset? Because this village thought he was going on, so they didn't invite him to stay. Well, there was more to it than that. It's when they realized that he worshiped in Jerusalem and was not one of them, that there was no acceptance of him in that town. But still, you look at their response. This is how to fix it. We ought to bring down fire and destroy them. That'll be the way to take care of it. And I look at his response here, but he turned, 55th verse, and rebuked them. And he said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. That's what I need to keep in mind at all time. In 2012, today, mercy is still extended to our nation. And I need to be spending more time seeking the Lord as an intercessor. I sought for a man. I was looking for somebody that would be an intercessor, and I really couldn't find anybody. And so since I didn't, I brought down judgment on them. And I felt it myself in the past. You know, I was talking to you about mom and dad having to make attitude adjustments with me. Well, spiritually, I remember as a child, and I've mentioned this before, listening on the radio. We lived living there at home in Hammond. And on the radio came Madeline O'Hara, an atheist, a stout atheist way back then. And she was speaking at a university, and she told the students there, she said, I want to tell you there's no God. Said, and I'm going to prove to you tonight there's no God. And I thought, wow, this is going to be something. And so she said, what I want to have happen to me tonight is I want God to strike me down right here, if there's a God. And there's silence. And, you know, we go to Sunday school, we go to church, and we hear about who God is and don't mess with him. And as I thought of here, as I heard that, and I thought of all those students that are being influenced right now,
yes.
I thought, God, this is your perfect opportunity to hear a big old crash and a boom, and she's gone, and those students say, there's a God. Well, she even stopped her talking. She didn't say anything for a little bit, and you wait, and maybe she won't come back. But then she just gives it a little time for effect. And then she comes back and says, see, that proves it. There is no God. He did nothing to me. Well, we can look at that and say, wow, why didn't you do something? You could have really showed something right there.
That's right.
But you know what? He let that go. And what I need to realize is the reason for that is 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, says he's not willing that any should perish. I mean, he will reach out. He will be an intercessor that stretches out clear past that atheism that says there is no God, and he keeps giving them oxygen to breathe every day. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I need to get that more in my own life today to realize, you know what? If he extends that much mercy to people like that, how much more should I be interceding for him to have mercy on others? Because you know what? Nothing happened that night. She went away from there saying there was no God. But if you remember, not long after that, her own people took her life. those that she should have been able to count on to be with me in this atheism thing, they took her life and she went out to meet this God. Well, today we have things, as I have over the past few weeks looked at where we're going in our country with same-sex marriage, yes, and those kind of things, what is my response? You know what, if I'm not real careful, I will feel just like those disciples did. Lord, I tell you what, this would be a fine time to call down fire, to bring down some judgment on this thing. And he's saying, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So leave that part of it to me. Because what I'm really looking for is, I'm wondering, is there still anybody down there in 2012 that will act as an intercessor, that will call on me to spare the city? And the example that I have for that is Abraham. I'd like to take a look at that tonight in Genesis in the 18th chapter. As I looked at these, it was amazing to me to see the God of heaven, and we've read about it this morning in Sunday school, what a mighty God to have created everything. But at the same time, he is so interested in me being able to call out to him for mercy for others. Yes. Almost begging me, won't you tell me to change my mind? Won't you call out to me to hold off on judgment? And I'd like to look at a couple examples. In the 18th chapter, 17th verse, now he's already sent the men, God has sent the men on into the city to check it out. And before the Lord leaves himself, he says in the 17th verse, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great nation, great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed for him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. So he goes on down in the 21st verse, he lets him know, I'm going down now. See whether they have done according to the cry of it which has come up to me, and if not, I will know. And then Abraham, look at that 23rd verse. Abraham drew near, and he said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Now, he didn't say, would you help the righteous to be able to get away from it before you destroy the city? What he says is, peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place? Spare the place. Save those that are doing it right along with the righteous. Would you have mercy on the whole place if there are 50 righteous there? And then for him to be able to, and we all know the story, for him to be able to intercede with God and say, well, you know what? I don't know that there would be 50. What about 45 and 30 and on down to 10 people? Yes. If you would just find 10 people in that city that are living right, would you not destroy it? You know what? That's exactly where we are today. Yes. I believe God is coming down and taking a look at America on this very same issue that we're talking about tonight. So judgment will come for it. Judgment came to Sodom and Gomorrah. But the thought has been coming to me is, in this time period in between, what if he's looking for an Abraham that would say, Lord, if you could just find some righteous people, and most important, let me be one of them. Let me make sure that my life is one that when he comes through this country checking, that he would be able to say, here is one of them that adds to that number. But would I be beseeching, because I tell you, my feeling has been, judgment is coming to this thing, and the sooner the better. I need to be seeking the Lord, because there's a whole lot of people, and it's not just this subject. There are many others that I need to be more like Christ. Yes. There will come a time for him to bring things into judgment. But what has really been standing out to me is, as I look at examples in the Bible of God saying, I'm looking for somebody. Is there anybody that will stand in the gap, that will say, Lord, would you please spare the city? I'm not justifying it. I'm not saying it's a good thing to be going on. But Lord, would you have mercy, because there's eternity out there and these folks have a soul too. So for Abraham to be beseeching the Lord, and it tells us by the Lord's reaction to him that the Lord was pleased for him to do it, for him to ask, is if the righteous are there, would you spare the city? There's another example that I'd like for us to look at in Exodus. Because you know, the Lord could say, like he did to Job, Job came to him on a different level. Job was questioning what he's doing about his affliction. And you remember where he told Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? You know, he could have easily have said that to Abraham. Hey, Abraham, you're just a man. You're breathing my air. Don't come bother me about those kind of things. But we see him doing different on that. And he did the same thing with Moses. You remember when they did the golden calf? And as he's coming down, the Lord starts talking to him. 32 and the ninth verse. Where God is speaking to Moses. Ninth verse, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. But look at this in the tenth verse. Now therefore, let me alone. Now wait a minute, who can make God do anything? This little piece of a verse tells me something about God's concern that there be an intercessor. He's telling Moses, almost as if he knows he will try to intercede for him. Let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them. And I will make of thee a great nation. But these next few verses, Moses besought the Lord. And he goes through several verses to where he says, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? And here he's telling, a man is telling God, turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. You know, it looks like if anything, God could have said, you have overstepped your bounds here. But I find that God had a respect, because I know he wasn't coming in God's face. There was a beseeching going on right there. That 14th verse says, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do to his people. Almost like Moses had power as an intercessor to seek the Lord to hold off judgment for a situation. And I believe that's what he would like for us to be doing today in this day and time that we're living in. Because it did it again in Numbers, where they didn't cross over into the land. Numbers 14 and 11, when they had the uprising right there at the border. 14 and 11, it says, and the Lord spake to Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have shown among them? Here's what he plans to do. I will smite them with a pestilence, disinherit them. I will make of thee a greater nation and a mightier than they. Now look at what Moses could have done. Boy, this sounds like an opportunity for me to have a following of my own that will follow. But instead, Moses again pleads with the Lord. Goes through kind of the same thing. And 17th verse. Now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken. The Lord is long-suffering of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. And again in 19th verse. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And 20th verse. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. And I just look at this subject that we're talking about tonight. I sought for a man that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge. How much more wicked can our land become? And if I'm not careful, what I will do is say, Lord, looks like time for judgment to be brought down. But I see power when Moses came to the Lord and said, would you hold back your wrath? Where the Lord came to Moses there in Exodus and says, let me alone now so I'll be able to do this. I believe there's power in intercession for us coming to the Lord and seeking for him to look down in mercy. There are examples, though, the other way. And if I'm not real careful, I can fall into those categories. You remember where Jonah, when he did finally go on down to Nineveh, and he had just a little short message that he was to give them, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. That's all God told him to say. He didn't have to say anything else. So he told him that, but it was his attitude that I'd like for us to think about. Where he says, I sought for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. What if he would have said to them, folks, this is the message. 40 days from now and you'll be gone. But let me tell you about the mercy of the Lord. Let me tell you about what he just did for me just a few days ago. He had mercy on me. And I tell you, if you'll go to seeking him, he's a God of mercy and he could have mercy on you. But instead, they did it in spite of him. They took the message and they bowed down before the Lord. They humbled themselves and the Lord forgave them. Well, you would think from that that Jonah would be so thankful that these people have been spared. But do you remember how that ended up? Where Jonah was angry that these people were going to be spared. You know, we can have like some of these same attitudes drift in if I'm not real careful. And the Lord said, "Why are you angry with them?" And Jonah came to him in my words saying, "You know what? I knew that this is the reason I didn't want to come down here to start out with, because I knew that you would have mercy on people." What if just a few days ago God had not had mercy on him? What if just a few days ago God had not had mercy on me? Yes. Where would I be today? So I need to be interceding with him that he would extend mercy to those around me. And I believe it's almost like God is begging for it today. With wickedness all around, is there anybody that will stand in the gap, that will make up the hedge? Maybe just spending time in prayer. "Lord, this is a great wickedness. You have shown us that you're going to punish it. But Lord, there's so many people going to go out into eternity lost. Would you please have mercy for as long as you can?" It'd be a whole lot better to look at it that way than the disciples when they said, "What about it? Is it time to call down fire out of heaven?" One more example. The prodigal son, when he went out, made his decision and left, wasted his substance, and his father kept looking for him, and the son turned around and came home. The feast was spread. Most everybody's happy until the older son listens and hears the music and says, "What's going on?" And they said, "This, your brother that I thought was dead, he's alive now. We're celebrating this thing." And he was angry. Yes. "You're doing this. You haven't ever done this for me, and I've been staying all this time. You're extending mercy to him, and I never did leave, and you never had killed a fatted calf for me to celebrate." And he wouldn't come in. You know, part of this intercession that I need to be doing, there are those that choose to go away. And you know, how hard would it be for them one day to say, "I've thought about it and I'd like to return"? Yes. Would they feel the feeling of, would they have to come in spite of me? Or would they be able to feel the intercession? That this person cares about me. He has been praying for me. He welcomes me with open arms to return. It covers a lot of areas. Because you know what? That seems like a story back there about the prodigal son and his brother. But you know what? If I'm not real careful, they will be able to sense in me something that says how you're going to have to come back, how low you're going to have to come back, just how it's going to have to be. You're going to have to crawl this distance, or you know what I'm saying? Instead of the father looking down the road with arms, I believe that was an intercessor. Yes. I believe he had spent some time asking God, "Would you please deal with my son's heart?" Yes. For us in 2012, I believe that verse still applies to us. I sought for a man to stand in the gap, to make up a hedge, because I was fixing to punish some things. And I would like to have had an intercessor to hold me off, yes, to ask for mercy to be extended for a little while longer. But I couldn't find them. And so judgment came. And maybe all the time at that same time, I was asking for the judgment to come. So I want to have an attitude of judgment. Amen. I want to be seeking the Lord for our country, for our congregation, for the church in general. Yes. That there will always be within me an intercessory spirit. Amen. I desire your prayers.